From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Hey, it's Chloe. September 8th. 10 stories, 1 trial, 3 reviews, 6 takes you can actually use. Let's get into it. First, from Science Alert. Scientists warn drylands could spread to over 40% of Earth by 2100. A recent study published in Environmental Research Letters paints a concerning picture of our planet's future, suggesting that drylands could expand to cover over 40% of Earth's land area by the end of the century. This growth is tied to rising temperatures, which are expected to push the boundaries of arid regions further into previously more humid areas. However, an interesting twist is that increasing carbon dioxide levels might actually slow this expansion by affecting how plants lose water. The researchers used updated climate models to define drylands based on a measure called the aridity index, which looks at precipitation versus potential water loss. They found that drylands currently cover about 38.58% of land, with semi-arid zones making up the largest portion. Projections indicate that by 2100, drylands could increase to between 39.31% and 40.28% of the land, depending on future greenhouse gas emissions. This represents a significant land area increase, comparable to the size of Algeria. Australia is expected to experience the most drastic changes, followed by Brazil and parts of Africa. While these findings are alarming, they are more conservative than previous estimates, which suggested drylands could cover up to 56% of the planet. The study highlights the need for updated assessments to better understand and adapt to these changes. Next, second from FIZE.org. Early Earth's auroral belts may have formed a natural ion beam reactor for prebiotic chemistry. Researchers are exploring the idea that the auroral belts on early Earth might have acted like natural ion beam reactors, potentially aiding in the formation of the first life forms. This concept stems from the interaction between solar winds and Earth's magnetic field, which creates these stunning light displays. The study suggests that the energy from these auroras could have driven chemical reactions necessary for prebiotic processes. The evidence is largely theoretical, based on models of early Earth's environment rather than direct observations. Scientists propose that the charged particles from the sun could have influenced the chemistry in Earth's atmosphere and oceans, creating conditions favorable for the emergence of life. While this is an intriguing hypothesis, it's important to note that it's still a developing area of research, and more studies are needed to understand the full implications. In short, while the idea that auroras contributed to the origins of life is fascinating, it's still speculative. It opens up new avenues for understanding how life might have begun in the unique conditions of our planet. Up next, third from Nature News. 2 children die from gene therapies in China. Where the field goes next. 2 children in China tragically died after undergoing experimental gene therapies, raising significant concerns about the safety and regulation of these treatments. The therapies were part of clinical trials aimed at addressing rare genetic disorders, but the outcomes have sparked a heated debate within the scientific community. While gene therapy holds promise for treating various conditions, these incidents highlight the need for stringent oversight and ethical considerations. Experts are now calling for a reevaluation of the protocols governing such trials, emphasizing the importance of thorough preclinical testing and transparent reporting of adverse events. The deaths serve as a stark reminder that while innovation in medicine is crucial, patient safety must always come first. As the field moves forward, it will be essential to balance the potential benefits of gene therapies with the responsibility to protect vulnerable patients. And then, fourth from Nature News, China's fast-track clinical trials are in the spotlight after child deaths. JavaScript is disabled in your browser. A required part of this site couldn't load. This may be due to a browser extension, network issues, or browser settings. Please check your connection, disable any ad blockers, or try using a different browser. Next, fifth from the Forbidden Files. All suffering originates from attachment, but so does every pleasure. The article explores the idea of attachment and how it shapes our experiences of pleasure and suffering. It starts by discussing the lives of monks who detach from worldly desires to achieve inner peace. Their practice reveals a paradox. While attachment is essential for survival and happiness, it can also lead to suffering when we start to feel we need things to be fulfilled. The author emphasizes that wanting is natural and can bring joy, but when desire turns into expectation, pain follows. Ultimately, it's about finding a balance, appreciating what we have without clinging to it, allowing us to experience life more fully without fear of loss. Up next, sixth from Out of the Fire, Leave with Heather Ashamara. In this episode, Heather Ashamara dives into the concept of embracing contradictions in our lives. She discusses how we often feel pressured to choose one side or the other, but acknowledges that life is rarely that simple. Heather Ash shares insights from her latest book, Wild, Willing, and Wise, emphasizing the importance of accepting the complexities within ourselves. She encourages listeners to explore their inner contradictions as a path to personal growth and authenticity. Throughout the conversation, she highlights practical strategies for navigating these dualities, like mindfulness and self-compassion. Heather Ash also reflects on her journey as a land steward and how her connection to nature informs her understanding of balance and harmony. The episode is a gentle reminder that it's okay to hold multiple truths, and that this dance with contradiction can lead to a richer, more fulfilling life. And then, seventh from New Atlas, Sihu B300 Pro Chair Review, Flexible Ergonomics on a Budget. The Sihu B300 Pro Chair is getting some attention for its blend of ergonomic features and affordability. This review reflects a personal journey where the writer, initially indifferent to chair comfort, found a new appreciation after trying the Sihu C300 Pro V2. The B300 Pro aims to provide flexible support for long hours of sitting, making it a solid option for those working from home. While it's positioned as a budget-friendly choice, it doesn't skimp on comfort or design, suggesting that you don't have to break the bank for a decent office chair. It's worth considering if you're in the market for an upgrade. Next, eighth from The Hungry Homesteader, Soup Season Saver. Even though it's still hot in the Ozarks, the author is gearing up for soup season by switching to a homemade dry soup mix instead of relying on canned options. This choice not only saves pantry space replacing 10 cans, but also gives more control over ingredients. Canned soups can contain additives like soybean oil and bioengineered ingredients, which can raise health concerns. The homemade mix avoids preservatives in soy, making it a safer alternative. It's versatile too. You can use it for creamy soups, casseroles, or gravies. The mix lasts about 6 months when stored properly, and you can customize it with your favorite spices. The basic recipe includes powdered milk, cornstarch, and a few seasonings. Just combine everything and store it in an airtight container. When you need to use it, mix 1/3 cup of the dry mix with 1/4 cups of water or broth for a fresher, creamy or soup. Sounds like a cozy plan for the cooler months ahead. Up next, 9th from Cremio Recuil. America's bad cities are costing you. The piece leans on a series of natural experiment studies. Things like the Great Migration, wartime labor shocks, and random disasters to tease out whether crime actually drags down the economic benefits cities normally enjoy from having people and firms close together. Those studies are observational, but use clever instrumental moments that let the author argue for a causal link, not just a correlation. What the analysis finds is that cities that took in larger numbers of African-American migrants during the early to mid-20th century saw higher homicide rates, which in turn spurred white flight to the suburbs. The resulting drop in density and the weaker returns to density are estimated to cost roughly $888 per person per year from the migration alone, plus another $392 per person from the later crime wave. The author notes the numbers are lower bounds. They only capture the loss through reduced agglomeration, not the direct costs of crime itself. He also flags a few data glitches that don't materially change the results, and points out that the effect is strongest for violent crime rather than property crime. Bottom line, the evidence suggests crime can meaningfully blunt the economic engine of cities, but the estimates are modest and hinge on a set of historical quirks. It's a reminder that improving safety could unlock some of the productivity and innovation that currently gets left on the table in many urban areas. And then, 10th from Sin's Room, you should never date the man who has been chasing you for years. The article dives into the complexities of dating someone who's been pursuing you for years. It emphasizes that if a man has been waiting around, it might not be a sign of true love, but rather an unhealthy fixation. The author argues that some men can't handle rejection well, turning their feelings into resentment over time. When you finally consider them, they may not be there to love you but to collect on their emotional investment. The piece distinguishes between two types of men, one who genuinely lost you and wants a second chance, and another who's built a fantasy around you without ever knowing the real you. The latter can lead to disappointment because no one can live up to an idealized version. The author encourages self-reflection, urging you to consider if the man seems genuinely happy when you finally say yes, or if he feels like he's won a game. If it's the latter, it's a red flag. The article wraps up with a promise to provide 20 warning signs to look out for in such situations. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. That's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.